Accession number 14780, reel 2.
Major Douglas, reel 2.
There was 1,000 bombers lying on the surface. It had gone into the ground and come up again. It had been dropped by a German plane which was being chased by a Spitfire, and the German pilot decided to drop his bomb for his own safety. And my subordinate and I turned up and took the fuse out. It was a 17 fuse, it was a safe fuse. And just over there, the owner of the big estate turned up and was very pleased to have his park clear. Took us to his house and gave us a bottle of Hague's Dimple for our pains. And that was a wonder. Then we had another thing while we were there in Bristol. Two American sergeants turned up, had been sent from America. And we had come to us to teach them how to dispose of bombs. And we had a bomb cemetery outside Bristol. And a couple of bombs were taken to explode at this bomb cemetery. And I'm afraid what happened was my sergeant didn't go far enough away. It was curiosity, and so was the American. And there are two ways of dealing with these. Well, you either set fire to them, to the explosive, or put a charge against them and blew them. You know, in this case, we've been done this burning things many times, but in this case, they only retired about 30 yards from the bomb, in full view of it, and it went up. My sergeant was killed, and the American got wounded. The other sergeant, American sergeant, was gone some distance away with my subaltern, and they were shaken, but they were all right. But then we had to ring up the American embassy and get them to arrange for these Americans to be sent back to America.
What should he have done? What precautions should he have taken?
Well, with the explosive, the burning one, you should have gone at least 100 yards away. Or go get in a crater. Because the bomb goes over your head normally. But these Americans had to go back. And they were, as far as I know, they were the first Americans to be awarded the Purple Heart when they got back to America.
How was the material set fire to?
Just with paraffin, so, with a cloth, and light it.
But how was the paraffin was just splashed over it, you mean?
Yes, you pushed the cloth into the explosive, and it would start burning.
Sounds quite a primitive way of doing it.
It was what we had in those days, this early days. It wasn't quite as early as the previous lot, but it was just we had no equipment at all. It wasn't, as I said, no electronic stuff at all like that. It was just a screwdriver and the simple equipment. Some people thought up their own.
What is a bomb cemetery?
Bomb cemetery is where a place we had to take to blow up any bombs which we dug out of the ground. It had to be hidden, but in a safe place where, when it went up, the blast wouldn't damage anything.
What is a 17 fuse?
17 was a German fuse, which was a normal standard fuse, which Germans used in nearly all their... all of those days, the fuses were all electric, the German fuses were all electric, whereas the British ones were nearly all mechanical. The German ones were all electric, but that's one of the reasons why we managed to do things, because the Germans were so punctilious about the safety of their own people that they used to put the numbers of the fuses on the head of the fuses. So when we saw 17, well, we knew you could just take it out. Or if it was a 37, that meant it had a clock in it, a timer. And then a 15 fuse also had a 15, a red fuse was a different fuse again. So all had these numbers on, so when nearly every case we could remove them or deal with them safely.
But presumably they could have tricked you by putting the wrong number on.
Yes, we always expected that, yes. But we just had to hope and pray for the best.
Did you ever come across that, where they put a false number on?
I think just one or two cases they did, yes. But I said they were lucky, like this chap. As I said, Archer took the fuse out of this bomb in Bristol, and that was the one which should have gone off. It was a fake, a different number. It was a brand new number we hadn't seen. And so he took it out, and just by sheer luck, and of course, as soon as we got it back and spotted what it was, we informed our research people, and they immediately notified every bomb disposal unit, both in England and all, and Russia.
So the 17 fuse was...
The general fuse.
And was there a particular number which you particularly feared finding?
Yes, the 37 was a very nasty one. But unfortunately... can you turn it off a moment?
Could the 37 fuse be handled or not?
No, it couldn't be handled at all. It was definitely... And even the RAF... who made them, they could not get them out at all. Firm instructions were that they must be blown up in situ. In each of these cases, the sidings outside Naples, no other places about, and so it would have been quite safe to blow them up in situ.
You were telling me about some people who disobeyed orders.
Well, I had two cases down there, two subalterns. With their sergeants, a fortnight in between each, decided they knew better and decided to try and blow them up. And all they did was to blow themselves up and their sergeants. And then I say, so I had to arrange funerals. The first funeral I had got a coffin filled with bricks and had a funeral. The second funeral... there's a different chaplain, and he insisted that there must be some part of the human body in the coffin. So I had to send a search party out and had to make, so we found one ear. That's all we could find, and that was put in the coffin with bricks and had the funeral.
So the bricks were put in as a substitute for the body?
For weight. Mm-hmm.
Would you have been tempted to handle a 37 fuse yourself?
Never.
What was so special about these 37 fuses, then?
Just the way it was made. If you start to unscrew it, like I normally used to do, unscrew it, it came to a point when it released a spring which immediately fired the bomb.
So you attended those two funerals in Naples,
yes,
did you?
Yeah.
Were they friends of yours?
Well, I mean, two of them are officers.
Now, if we can come back to the United Kingdom and the work you did there, please. Any more details about the work you did in the Bath and Bristol area?
I was down in High Wycombe. I had one or two jobs to do down there. One was a case of where the Germans had that night were flying over that part of England. And I had a searchlight. There was a searchlight there, and the sound detector picked it coming from north to south, over this site. And they proceeded to the gunners with the searchlight exposed the searchlight on, and right completely got the bombing angle, and one bomb landed about 100 yards away. Another one as well, which we didn't know till dark. But the amazing thing was it was all clay soil. And this searchlight detector had two seats on it, and they'd been facing up north while this raid was on. And when they woke up in the morning, they decided to get off, and they're 30 feet away from them, was this bomb crater. And the bomb was all clay, and the clay just sucked it up. And they another one, bomb landed about another 50 yards away. And that one, I went down, we dug down to it, cleared it. It was a 15 fuse, a safe fuse. And anyhow, and my cable, which I'd used for detonating the bombs, I'd been doing quite a bit of, been got a bit short. And I took it down over the slight ridge and pooped it off. Got the troops away and the local police turned up and come while a safe distance, blew it. I had quite a good bang. And then realised that all the stuff was coming down over my head. And so I put myself on the ground very promptly and just sat there. And everything quietened down. And I heard one big, large stone miss my head by about a couple of feet. But I proceeded to get up. And we used to use all this blitz timber from the London bombing to revet the shaft from digging down for these fuses. And these had all turned into spears. And the whole ground around me was spears sticking in the ground. I've got myself extremely lucky. And my sergeant from this distance has seen this, and he came hailing down towards me, and I think it was very relieved to see me still alive.
This was in the Bristol area or the Bath
area? No, this was in Buckinghamshire. What else did I have done there? I used to run dances for the troops in the High Wycombe Town Hall.
Which was the worst area for bomb disposal, the Bath area or Buckinghamshire?
Buckinghamshire, because it was on the outskirts of London. Because mainly the big cities got most of it. In Bristol, and but I say this is very hard to remember now, which actual name in here is it now? I was when we were down in High Wycombe there, one of these bombs, it was only a 50 kilo, a small bomb, landed on the field, in a field outside of High Wycombe, between High Wycombe and some other place. Anyhow, it was 200-300 yards away from the main London Road, High Wycombe London Road. And I went across and put the fuse in and pooped him and blew it up. That evening, I went into the hotel in High Wycombe for a drink. And two men were chatting in there. One came and talked to the other. And one was saying, if I ever see catch that bloke who did that, and shoot him. So I listened. And I just said, why, what happened? So I just came back from London today and said a bloody great chunk of turf landed on top of my car and made a dent in it. I didn't make any comment at all. Because I said, this is far further than normally would have flied. Lieutenant Archer, I got you that one. You got him down, haven't you?
Yes.
Lieutenant Archer, who won the George Cross, well, it had happened. Besides, we have a party, and I went and saw Colonel Weatherhead of Colonel Weatherhead Brewery in Marlow, who was a very helpful to us, and when we had the dances at High Wycombe. He used to supply us with booze for it. And in this case, I went to see him, and he said, "Doctor, what, special?" I said, "Well, extra special." So I said, "One of our officers in what is the George Cross?" "Oh, that is extra special." And they rang the bell, sent for his staff or something, "Bring 6 bottles of Hague's Dimple." So I took my checkbook out to pay. "Oh, no, 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 no. Have a dang good party." We did.
Hegg's dimple seems to have figured largely as a special form of recompense.
Seriously, what was this? When I was posted to the second company near Bristol, they had various things there. The Germans bombed Exeter one night, and I sent my subaltern down to deal with it. And I was the second in command at the time, and IOC went down as well. And when they were working at Exeter on the shaft there, it was just 100 yards off the main shopping street. The police had been warned to evacuate the whole area, and the subaltern and the major were down the field, down the shaft. When you were working on bombs, one was always a bit nervous. And the police had been told to stop anybody. No one allowed to come in or near while they were working. Because when they were working down there, about 12 feet down, they heard footsteps coming along the shaft, coming along the road. So together shouting, F off, F off, top of their voices. And the footsteps continued to come along. And then they looked up, Christ the King. So, of course, the King has served in the Navy, so he knew his language. But he said, can I really come up, gentlemen? So they sort of slunk up the ladder, and he shook hands with them, wanted to know what type of fuse it was and what type of bomb it was. Then he walked back and crossed the barrier at the end of the road. So they both had to go to the nearest pub and have a double brandy before they had the nerve to go back and work on the bomb again. I tore strips off the chief constable when I heard about it. He said, he and the king had been walking along, and he and the queen had been walking along, and the king just stopped and climbed over the barricade and walked down the road. We didn't know how to stop him. Another case of rather amusing one at Yatton, was outside Bristol, where a mine had landed in a field about 100 yards from a pub, a very nice pub. And the Navy had been sent down to deal with this. My chef dug the thing out, or cleared it out, digging the shaft down. And then the Navy turned up and wanted to take it on. So that was their job, and the mines. But anyhow, then they were working away, and then they went to this pub for a drink, and they had another one. And then they were replaced by another naval lieutenant. This went on for about 3 weeks, I think. And they're going to the pub, all free drinks at this pub. And eventually, when they're finished, and then last lieutenant went back to the Navy, the Admiralty in London, the chap there in charge who had been doing the recording, he said, might be interested to know, he said, you're digging that bomb out, that mine out, said that mine at one time was 4 feet above ground. Because they hadn't kept any records of how far they'd been digging. They just took a guess at it.
That was at Yatton.
That was Yatton, yes.
Where's Yatton?
Just outside Bristol, between Bristol and Weston-super-Mare. And then the Germans also bombed Weston-super-Mare. They claimed they'd bombed Bristol, but actually they bombed Weston-super-Mare. And I was asked to go down and represent the company because the Duke of Kent was coming to see the damage and to meet people who were taking charge and were doing things to it. So I went out and joined the queue on the edge of the pavement. And I think it was the medical officer of health, a doctor. I think there were six of us there, and I was the last but one on the right. And the Duke turned up a bit late. Very late, by now, and proceeded to get out of his car and come across. I was introduced to the other people on my left. Then he came up to me and introduced me as the bomb disposal officer. His expression changed completely. He said, step forward, please, step forward, please. So he went off, and so he He said, well, what kind of bombs are they doing? So I said, well, I can't. I said, come, so we've been there. I said, can't we leave this shower and you take me round the jobs? So I said, I'm afraid you're a bit late already. So I said, are you staying in Badminton? He said, yes. I said, well, you tell my officer there and which day you're free. And you come over and I'll take you round. So he said, right. And of course, he flies over to Scotland the following week and was killed. After this time, I was posted to 17 Bomb Disposal Company at Sevenoaks, preparatory to going abroad. One of the first things had to do was the colonel turned up one day and said that some new type of fuse or bomb had been dropped on the riverbank in the Thames. And he had his car there, so we went out and found this lot of engine. A farmer showed us where the fuse were. They were what they call the small yellow unexploded bombs, things about this size.
Just a few inches across?
Yes. And this German plane had dropped these. And when they drop them, they come down in a casing, about 4 feet, 5 feet long, I suppose, this diameter. And when it goes so far, there's a fuse in it which fires off the container. And their wings fly, and then there are all these little things about come down, little the wings open up, and they float down to the ground. And when they hit the ground, they go off.
These are not butterfly bombs.
Butterfly bombs, yes. Small yellows, we used to call them those days, butterfly bombs. So we proceeded to, the chauffeur, the colonel and I, proceeded to sit on this field and just knocking by the hammer, knocking out the locking rings, and then putting those on one side and the fuse on the other. And then eventually went back. And there were 600 of these we took out. And eventually went back to the head of these things and to these, security people. And it came back, so we don't know how you were still alive. So we've checked these yellows, and it's quite easy. If any being hit at all, they'll go off. We've been hit 600 with the chisels, cold chisels, we hadn't any tools. So we got away with that one. But
why were you so lucky on that occasion?
I was born lucky, touching wood.
And this was on the bank of the Thames?
On the bank of the Thames, yes.
On the south bank? You mean?
The south bank, yes.
In Kent?
Yes. Somewhere in Kent, yes. Just in the open country. Open field. Now, so we took it back and next thing in 1943, the company moved to, sent to abroad. We went up to Greenock, and we got on board the troop ship. We went to, went to Algiers, and we were there prepared to going to Sicily, but Sicily wasn't ready. And so we were sent up to a camp above Algiers. And so we were there for a couple of months, waiting. But then eventually went off went to Sousse, drove across country from Algiers to Sousse, across the desert, and then waited there for about a fortnight or so. And then we moved down to the docks and then went across to Port Augusta in Sicily. And halfway across, in this LCT, or LST, I should say, Germans, three planes threw over. There were just three of us LSTs and a little flagship in front. And the Germans dropped these bombs, but all missed, luckily, thank goodness. And we just landed in Susan at the Port Augusta in the morning, went ashore, and went inland a bit, up the coast, to camp.
Was this the actual Sicily landings?
Yes.
Or after?
Or it was after the landing. So, we were Portugaster first, then we went to Catania, which is a very nice town, and I took over a block of flats. And we were there for about 3 months.
Doing bomb disposal work?
Doing bomb disposal, yes.
What kind of bomb disposal did you have to do at Catania?
Mainly Germans. A bit, some Italian, but mainly German. All the various bombs in there. Yeah.
Was it much different from doing that kind of work in Britain?
In a way, yes. Because the Germans were using the same type of fuses, the same type of bombs, but well, until later on in the campaign when they put on really nasty stuff. Catania. They were there, they went up to, when they moved across to southern Italy, we then moved up to Naples. We were there for Naples for a fortnight when I was told that we'd come to the wrong place. I had to go across to Bari. So I went across the other side of Italy to Mola de Bari, and we were there for 3 months over Christmas. And then we were sent back to Naples again, where we spent another about 2 months, I think it must have been, and then went up country, stopped at various places overnight to Perugia.
But in Italy, presumably, it must have been different doing the bomb disposal in the sense that with the climate being drier, wasn't the ground less waterlogged? Or was it waterlogged in the winter?
I can remember now. Don't give me records of the weather in those days.
So the digging wasn't any different from Britain?
Not really, no. No. See, at that particular time at Naples, I had 19 sections, platoon, because we still were taking over the administration of the ones left in Philippeville and North Africa, and then all the ones in Italy, and eventually we took over ones towards the end of the war, we took over the ones in Greece and Austria. So 19 sections at one time, about letting off 1,000 men, just for the administration.
What were you, a major or a captain at this time?
Well, I went across as a captain from Italy, and then took over second in command when we landed up in the middle of Italy. While I was in Naples the second time, I had instructions from the chief engineer of the army to go across to Greece, because there had been a bad accident over there with the bombs. So I flew from Bari to Athens, and found my way to Athens headquarters, saw the chief engineer there, and asked what had happened. And it seems that apparently one of the airfields on the outskirts of Greece, where it was very hot, and the bombs had been left outside on the concrete, and apparently my lads had come along to remove them, but it seems that apparently they'd got a whole 3-tonner load of them on, and they must have dropped something.